We continue with our study. And before going to the attributes of God, I will just mention briefly on the providence of God. This also was rashly done last month. And this refers to God's maintaining, sustaining, governing His creation. And of course, this also God's decree to sustain, to govern, to preserve, to support, to direct the world. And we can clearly observe this in our universe. You know, how many thousands of years that this earth has been going around the sun, and still we know that if there is this 1 degree away from the sun, we will be frozen. Or 1 degree near to the sun, will be burned. And there is no such thing as a course or like the monorail that the train would really follow in it. No, it's nothing. It's only by the gravity that this earth is moving, and even the moon. And this is the very proof of how God really is maintaining the universe, and even in our lives also. I myself could testify that. And I praise the Lord for the experience that He had given me when I decided to go full-time and be trained in FEBC. It was really hard for me to make that decision. First time I rebelled against God. I didn't want to listen to the every passages that we will read in our devotion speaking of following Him. And then God convicted me that I should commit myself unto Him. But I was really very afraid. I have 3 children. And if I will quit my job, how can I feed them? How can I provide them for their schooling? How can I clothe them? How can I shelter them? And more so that we will be coming to a city, shall I say, one of the most expensive cities in the world. It's good if you'll stay in the Philippines. We can just, build some kind of, small hut or whatever, cottage. Going to this city, and we heard that, the rent during the 2009, the rent is around 1,000 or 800 per room. And for us, I counted what I just accumulated from my work in abroad and also in our country. It cannot even make us survive for 6 months here in Singapore. And then when Dr. Koh told me that, you will be living in a Calvary Pandan BP church, we thank the Lord that there is a place. But in our minds, we think that, it's a church. And in the Philippines, if you have the church, it's just like this. I mean, the church building. So we think, maybe we'll be sleeping on the pew. And so I equipped my children, really, this is true, I equipped my children with sleeping bags. Each of us had a sleeping bag. And Mrs. Koo, when they met us in the airport, she was asking, why are you going to camp? Because we think, really, we will be sleeping on the pew of Calvary Pandan Church. Thank the Lord that there was a room for us. And also, when there was time of need, we pray hard, and God would just answer our prayers immediately, sometimes at the very moment we are praying. That's why my wife commented in the earlier part of our stay there, she was asking, maybe we are bugged here, maybe there's some recorder here that somebody, if we pray, they will hear there, because if we lack things, then something... Immediately after a few minutes, they will knock at the door, and then they will give us sometimes the very thing that we need. And should we consider that as some, just like a chance? No, it's God. It's God's providence. And of course, that's not always the case, but we trust God that He does this for us. And we learn that, and we thank the Lord that for 6 years now, God willing, can finish my studies. God is still providing us. My children is still able to study, homeschooling. We're provided every time there is a wedding in Calvary Pandan. Oh, we have we rejoice, but sometimes it's also a headache. Because every time there is a wedding and any activity, they will just bring all the food to us. And, oh, how to eat all these things even for 1 week? There's so much. So we sometimes bring to FEBC and give to our brothers. That is how God, I believe really in God's working in our lives. And if we really see God's hand in each one of us, we can really praise Him and thank Him for His provision, His providence over our lives. And that's how He said in Matthew 10:29-31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Even the very hairs of our head, we do not care how many hairs will fall every time we shower, but God knows. "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." This is how God encourages us. Even the unclean birds, He's taking care of them. How much more are we who are His children? Now we are going to go to the nature and attributes of God. The nature and attributes of God. I believe we don't have this in the notes. I just asked Preacher Joshua, and maybe I give some of my notes to him to incorporate. But this is talking about the nature of God. And as we have mentioned earlier, this is, we will be following the Westminster Confession, Westminster Shorter Catechism answer on what is God. The question on what is God. God is a spirit. And here we have this nature of God, and we know that God is a person. The nature of God. He is a person. He is not an influence. He is not something, an imagined thing. He is not something that just, we concocted as there and here, but He's a personal entity. He has a personal identity. That's our God. And that's how He revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. "I am that I am." And this actually talks of His eternality. "I am that I am. Yesterday I am, today I am, tomorrow I am." Not "I was, I am and I will," but "I am." And that's how God described Himself. And this was also used by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, describing Himself as "I am." And that's why we know He is God Himself. He is equal to the God Father, Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is self-existent. And He is described as the uncaused cause. Everything in this world, there is a cause. But God is an uncaused cause. He just exists. And if we try to imagine these things, I know it's difficult for us to really understand. How can there be this self-existent God? But there is, because there is a proof. Ourselves, our life, is a proof of this self-existent God. And He is a person because He is capable of relationship. He wants to relate with us. He wants to have a personal relationship with man. He could have just created man and then left man alone to do all the things on this earth. But no, He come down and talked with Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve fell, God intervened and promised that although you are not able to do perfectly what I demanded to you, so that you can go to heaven and have eternal life, I will send my own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As early as Genesis, immediately after, they fell, the Lord God promised, my son, the seed of a woman, will come, and he will fulfill the demands of the law, and he will be a sacrifice for you, so that his righteousness will be your righteousness. And when you receive him and you believe in him, you will be reconciled unto me, your sins will be washed away, and you will be with me forever. That's how God is intimately relating with his people, his children. So he's not an idol. He's not something that is created by man. And we have, of course, you know, most of you have been to Philippines. Oh, we have so many, you know, if you just look on the different pictures of Jesus or different pictures of God, the Father, there are many colors. There is black, white, brown, with long nose, flat nose, and whatever. And all these are, you know, all man-made creation to represent a God which is actually, who is actually a spirit. We must understand that God is a spirit. And that's why he gives us the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, that we should not make unto him any graven image, because he cannot be represented by anyone, by anything. And that's how we know God is a spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ also declared that in John chapter 4:24, God is a spirit. And here in Exodus 20, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Why? Because all these things cannot represent me. I am spirit. So God is a person, God is a spirit, and we know last month also we discussed and we shared God is one. There is only one God, but in three persons. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they are one. They can be distinguished because the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. But they are equal in substance, in nature. And so they are one, three in one. And that is what we call the Trinity. And God is one, as declared here in the Scriptures. So we have here the nature of God. God is a person. God is a spirit. And God is one. The nature of God. God is a person. He is existent, self-existent. He has a personal entity, identity. He relates with us. And he is a living person. In fact, the Bible describes him as one who hears, who sees, who feels, who acts, who punishes, who judges. He is a person. And also he is a spirit, because he is not corporeal. Although he is being described sometimes with with hands, with eyes, but that is just to describe his actions for us to understand as man, because we cannot comprehend his action if we will not see that in our own terms. So God is a person, God is a spirit, and God is one, because there are three persons in one God. Now, what are the attributes of God? And this is now we have to describe the attributes of God, the character, the name. The attributes of God. Now, in the attributes of God, we have three aspects. Now we can again somehow make these three things, circle here to identify these attributes of God. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is unchanging or immutable. God is infinite, eternal, and unchanging, unchangeable. And there are three aspects of God's attributes that are what we call His incommunicable attributes. When we talk about incommunicable attributes or natural attributes, these are the His attributes that cannot be passed on to man. It is only by God alone. And He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being. In His wisdom. And in His power. These are the natural attributes of God, which are incommunicable. When we talk about incommunicable, meaning it cannot be shared. It is by God alone, or it's in God alone. Now we have also what we call the communicable attributes of God. And these are the attributes of God which are of moral in nature. These are communicable, meaning it can be shared and it can be imparted unto man. And we can have these kind of attributes also. And this is holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Infinite. And we know what is infinite. It is God's attribute that He is without end. And He cannot be measured. He cannot be, you know, it is well described in Job 11:7, and it says here, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Can you really determine? Can you really estimate or measure who God is? Can you really value Him? Can you really measure Him? It is beyond our power, man's power, to do this. He is infinite. And He is also eternal. Eternal to the with the idea that He is everlasting. He existed even before time. He will exist even after this whole world will be consumed or will be destroyed. And this is given here in Psalm 90 verse 2, where He is described here to be eternal, and describes here, "Before the mountains were brought forth, before the creation, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world," before this earth was created, the world was formed, "even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is the God we have. This is the God whom we believe. This is our God. This is our Father. Psalm 90 verse 2. So this describes actually the existence of God even before the creation of this world, and He will exist even after the end of this world. Meaning He has no beginning, He has no end. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ described Himself. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And the beginning here, there, does not mean the beginning of this world, but the beginning of, He was already there. Meaning, He was there even before the beginning, and He will be there even after the end. And He is also unchanging, unchangeable. Or how should we trust this attribute of God? How should we be thankful to God that He is unchanging? It's not like us. We easily change. We easily bend, or we easily go about, or we easily turn aside from our ways. But God is unchanging. And therefore, He can be trusted. In Psalm 102, what a beautiful description of the unchanging character of God. Psalm 102, 25 to 27, it says here, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Thou art the same. And this is also, we know in Hebrews 13:8, describing the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a hymn expressing this truth. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. And that's the reason why we as Bible Presbyterians believed in the covenant theology, on the faithfulness of God's covenant, that even though how Israel have gone far from the ways of God, we know, because it is promised by His word, that He will restore back Israel. And His faithfulness, unchanging faithfulness to Israel, is also a good sign, a confirmation that God also will be true to His church. That even though the church may be gone aside, and may be deceived, and may be going down, but still He will preserve a remnant that will be His own people. He is unchanging, and this truth really is this will really increase our faith in the Lord our God. May this will be a source of comfort. I may change, but God will never change. People may change, but God will never change. This is the attribute of God: infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being. And what does this mean? When we talk about infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, it means He is omnipresent. He is all present, and that's how He is being described here in this aspect. God is omnipresent. And we can know that in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, says here, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." What a wonderful description of God's omnipresence. He is not limited by time or space. He is present everywhere. Everything is present before Him. Now, this does not mean that everything is God, but everything is present before God. Now, there are in a laboratory in Japan, every time we kill rats and mice, every day we kill 50s, hundreds of mice. They always pray before killing. Because they say, oh, this might be a reincarnated whatever gods or whatever, so they pray. And they were always mad at me because I always, immediately after bringing out the mice, just kill everything. And they will say, "Oh, I'm so cruel. I'm not praying to these, you know, mice and rats." They think this is God. Because they said even sardine head can be a god. No, this is not. This is, of course, the belief of this heathen religion. But we believe everything. When we talk about omnipresent, God is everywhere and everything is present before Him. That means we cannot hide from Him. Even if we hide in the secret closet, in the darkness of the night, you fly to the moon or wherever in this universe, God is there. And therefore, we cannot hide our sin. We cannot hide our sin. There are some people who will go abroad and work there for a few days, weeks, and they just do something because they think they are away from their wife, they are away from their family, they are away from the church. And that's actually what happened to me when I was, you know, I was a Roman Catholic. I was in the charismatic church in the Philippines during that time before I went to Japan for a scholarship. But when I arrived there, I was alone. My wife was not there. Oh, I was away from the charismatic community. I was away from the Roman Catholic church. And suddenly I just did everything that showed me I am really that filthy, sinful, wicked person. Because before that, I was trusting in my own righteousness. I was trusting I was devoted to the church. I was trusting that I am surely be admitted by God into heaven because I was leading worship service, praise and worship in the charismatic church. I believe I am acceptable by God. But then the Lord showed me, oh, how evil I was. And that was the time that I was convicted. And then I prayed the rosary every day. I go to mass every day. I go to confession every Sunday. But nothing happened. The guilt was there. And sometimes during the night, I cannot sleep. Just afraid that I'm sure I'm going to hell. If I will sleep and I will die, I'm very sure I'm going there. I thank the Lord that there was this brother who showed and shared to me God's word. And then to this American pastor who brought me into the fundamentalist Bible-believing church. We cannot hide from God because He is omnipresent. And also He is infinite, eternal, unchanging in His wisdom. And the idea here is God is omniscient. He is not just omnipresent, but He is also omniscient. Omniscient. He knows all things. Past, present, and future. We know there is now a new theology coming into the evangelical church. They call it open theism. And they said, oh, God cannot know what is in the future. He will just know once it happens. And therefore, after it happens, then God will do something to arrange or to sustain or whatever is needed. He is not omniscient. But God is clearly given here. In fact, in Psalm 139, He is also described as omniscient. And also He is described in Acts 15:18. Acts 15:18, it says here, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." Known unto God. And in Psalms 147, and verses 4 and 5, says here, "Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek, He casts the wicked down to the ground. In verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Now today, the more these scientists discover great telescopes, the more that they discover there are more stars, millions and billions of stars out there. But God knows the numbers of these stars. And God knows even the names of these stars. And that's who is our God. God is omniscient. And therefore, when He knows everything, the past, the present, and the future, how can we be secured in our lives? And how can we be more trusting in the ways that He is leading us and rely on Him always? And not only that He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, but He is also in power, infinite, eternal, and unchanging. And that shows that He is omnipotent. Omnipotent, all-powerful God. He is all-present, He is all-knowing, He is all-powerful God. This is our God. He is absolutely powerful over everything in both the physical and spiritual realm. And there are some people who would say, oh, can God make a stone or a rock that He cannot carry? There's some people who are so, you know, skeptical to God. And of course, these things are only questions of the foolish people who do not acknowledge that there is God. But God is all powerful. And it is here noted that God is in Genesis chapter 18:14, we know this well when the Lord told Sarah that she will have a son, and she laughed within herself in verse 12, Genesis 18:12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Because she was already 89 years old. She was already 89 years old during this time. And it was, of course, understandable for Sarah to laugh at this prophecy. Because how can an 89 years old bear a child? But the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? In verse 14 of chapter 18. And also this is repeated in Luke 1:37. And I cannot forget this verse because when I applied, when I decided to come to FEBC, I sent my application, but and then after that, I of course sent also my resignation to the university where I work. And after that, I was, you know, calculating how can we survive, and asking, Lord, how will we survive? And then suddenly my son came to me and asked about their memory verse for that Sunday. He was asking me what was the verse, Luke 1:37. And I angrily just scanned the Bible and told him the verse. Then I said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And I was convicted. It was really a verse for me during that time. And here it says, nothing shall be impossible. He is infinite, eternal, unchanging in His power. And this natural attributes of God, incommunicable attributes of God, these are attributes that are only found in God. And here, this omnipresence, actually, this will strengthen our doctrine in prayer. That's why we can pray everywhere. Even Jonah, he was praying inside the belly of the fish. He was heard because God is omnipresent. Wherever we are, we cannot limit ourselves to just praying inside this church, but God will hear us. And being omniscient, knowing our needs, knowing the things that we need, God will help us and hear our prayers. And knowing that He is all-powerful and can answer and can do whatever that we ask and we seek from Him, how can we not trust Him? He is God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, and power. And the moral attributes, the holiness of God, these communicable attributes, these are shared to us, and we are expected to manifest this as our light, to show to others, salt and light, to show to others who God is, that they may glorify the Father who is in heaven. And that's the reason why we are still here on earth. We are supposed to be saved. We are saved, and we are supposed to be already qualified to enter into heaven because we are cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then God, by His sovereign will, allowed us to stay here on earth still on this time because He wants us to manifest these attributes, moral, communicable attributes of God in our lives. Holiness. God is sinless and He is perfect. And we as Christians, we know we are positionally in the position by God's eyes, we are already saints. We are already cleansed. But we, in the process of sanctification daily, we are still struggling with our sin, but God has already is already giving us the Holy Spirit to help us to live for His glory. God is sinless, and so God commanded us also to be holy, even as He is holy. That's God's demand for our lives. He is the standard of our ethical laws. God is holy. And He is also just. His justice is infinite, eternal, and unchanging. God is just and fair. He will not punish us. He will not over-punish us. He will not under-punish us. God is fair. God is just. And that is reflected in how God deals with us and how He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. It's because of Christ that we are justified. We must understand that we are forgiven not because, you know, God just say, oh, you are forgiven because you have cried before me, you have repented of your sins. No, we are forgiven because somebody received the punishment that we deserve. And there are some theologians today who will say that, oh, God is just, but He opted to be non-just to the Christians, meaning He somehow overlooked our sins. No. Every ounce of sin that we have done and every ounce of punishment that deserves to be punished was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is justice. That's why we cannot just take lightly our salvation. Yes, it sounds easy because we just pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins, be merciful to me as sinners. Say the sinner's prayer. It sounds easy, but it was paid by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's justice in Christ. And God is good. God's goodness, God is gracious. He is all good. Even though there are bad things that happens in our lives, it's still good for us because He is good. There are some problems, concerns, but because He who ordains this thing is a good God, this will result unto good things, good result, good consequence. God is good. And in Psalm 119, verse 68, it is being mentioned in there. Psalm 119, verse 68. It says, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Thou art good and doest good. The word good here means in a wide sense includes His kindness, His love, His grace, His mercy upon all of us. This is God's goodness. That includes His mercy, His kindness, His love, His grace upon all of us. The goodness of God or the grace of God is the amazing theme in the Bible, in all the Bible. And lastly, we have this infinite, eternal, and unchanging in His truth. He is characterized by truth. He's sincere, He's honest, He's truthful, He cannot lie. There is no falsehood in Him. Man, however, we try to be honest and sincere, we still have this sinful nature in our hearts, in our lives, that we still do sin against our own brethren. But this God whom we believe and we trust is a God who is characterized by truth. He is always sincere, honest, and truthful unto us. And this truthfulness that He has is manifested and is given to us and demonstrated to us and attested by the scriptures that He has given us. Thy word is truth. That's how God described His word. Thy word is truth. And this is the truth that we have in Him. And if we have this truth in the Word of God, we are always have this assurance that we are always led by God truly with all honesty and sincerity. And we are also assured that once we believe and trust in the Lord, we can be in heaven with Him forever. It is secure because He is a God who is unchanging. And I pray that these lessons that we have learned tonight may warm our hearts to know more of who Christ is, to desire to feed always upon His Word, meditate upon His Word, for this will truly encourage us to live a life, Christian life, that is glorifying to the Father. For that is the chief end of man, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the only way by which we can glorify God and enjoy Him forever is to live according to His Word. And that is the truth in here. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord encourage us. May the Lord cause us to really be desiring to feed upon God's Word. Let us pray.